Thank you, Brother Dameron, and it is a pleasure to be with you tonight, and greetings from Tinley Park, Illinois. We're glad, my wife and I, to be with you this evening for your midweek service, and it is a privilege to be with you. How many have enjoyed this wonderful weather so far for September? Hasn't it been fantastic? How many are still picking things out of their garden? How many have gardens here, and you're still harvesting from your gardens? A few hands, all right. We've had a great garden season over in Illinois, and my wife, she made the best dill pickles that I think I have ever had. She canned them, and I've been enjoying those. And I said to my wife, I said, "Dear, these pickles are the best you've ever made." In fact, I said to her, I said, "These are so good. My mother and my grandmother would be impressed." Well, we've eaten a couple jars of pickles, and all of a sudden she brought out this jar of pickles a week or so ago, and I took one bite of the dill pickles, and I said, "Dear, this is different than the others. Is this the same batch of pickles?" And she said, "Yeah, it's the same batch." I said, "Wow, these are pickles with a kick. I couldn't believe it. These pickles are amazing." And I've been eating these pickles, and every time I eat a pickle, it's like, this is over the top. I mean, the first pickles were good. They're the best ever. But these are like, there's nothing like it. I've never had anything like it in my life. You could probably make $1 million selling these pickles. What is different about these pickles? And she finally said, "Look into the jar." And so I looked in the jar, and I said, "What is that?" She said, "That's a red pepper. Red hot pepper." Wow, how many have ever had dill pickles, canned dill pickles, with red hot peppers in the mix? That's pickles with a kick, I'm telling you. It's awesome. I don't know if it's ever been done out there, but they're fantastic. Well, my wife and I, we come from Michigan, a small town. She comes from Caledonia. Anybody ever heard of Caledonia, Michigan? Anyone in here? All right. And I come from a small town called Alto, not far from Caledonia. Anybody heard of Alto? All right. I was saved at First Baptist Church of Alto years ago, and that's where my wife and I met each other, and we're married there and been serving the Lord now since 1990 is when the Lord put us into the ministry. I grew up on an 80-acre farm in Michigan, just outside of Alto, Michigan. And we raised sheep in that farm. In fact, at one time we had over 100 head of sheep. And I'd like to preach to you tonight on Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Would you turn to Psalm 23 in your Bibles, please? And when you find that, would you stand with me? And would you read it or recite it with me? Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. So look that up in your Bible, please, and let's all read it or recite it together. Beginning at verse number 1, Psalm 23. Let's begin. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Boy, it's good to hear God's people reading his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful psalm that has been given to us by inspiration of God that we can study tonight. Thank you for these people and the privilege it is to not only fellowship together this evening, but now to give attendance to your word. Lord, I ask for your help in preaching it, and I ask, Lord, that you'd use it in every heart, that we might be drawn closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here tonight who has not turned to Christ to save them from their sins and to become their shepherd, I pray that tonight would be the night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When we had sheep on the farm in Michigan, they were free range in their pastures, okay? We had fenced off pastures, and they could just free range out of the barn and back and forth into the pastures and so on and so forth. And when we needed to get them to come into the barn or something like that, we had a vocal call that we would make, but one of the things that worked the best for us to gather the sheep in from out in the pasture was to shake the grain bucket. And the sound of the grain shaking in the bucket, they would just come a-running because that's so much better eating than grass, you know. Anyways, the sheep, they would come for that. You know, in the Middle East, the shepherding is quite a bit different than the way we do it here. I understand in the arid climate there, in the eastern climate and the culture, even to this day, shepherds lead their flocks into their pastures. They call them verbally, and the sheep follow them as they lead them to the places where they feed the sheep. I want to talk to you tonight about the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Roha. Now, there's different vowels that are used in Hebrew scholars, but some say it's Roha or Raha or Rohai. But we're looking at this phrase, Jehovah Roha. And we in our church just finished a study on the names of God recently. And we wanted to, Lord laid it on my heart to go over this one with you tonight. Possibly the most familiar psalm, one that is a source of comfort during grief and sorrow, most often used in funerals. But I've wondered how many times that this text is used in funerals that it was not applicable to the one who is being remembered on that day. For in other words, what I'm saying is the one in the casket did not have the Lord as their shepherd and certainly did not follow him. But this is a favorite text for funerals. But you know, Psalm 22 comes before Psalm 23. You do know that. And Psalm 22 is very important. We need to keep that in mind, that before you can have the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd, he must first become your Savior. As chapter 22 or Psalm 22 tells us how he suffered and bled and died for our sins. If you're here tonight and you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot call him your shepherd until he first is your Savior. There's no other way that you must be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at the name Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, I want to do something tonight. I want to kind of look at some verses where this word appears in other places in the Old Testament. When I make a reference to the Hebrew, it's never to correct our King James Bible. I believe that our King James Bible has no errors in it whatsoever. And I believe our King James Bible is a very excellent translation. I'll say there are some difficult areas that deserve study. I will admit that. But I never quote the Hebrew or Greek to make a correction, because I think that the English is as good as it can get. In fact, somebody once said anybody that tries to improve on the King James Bible, they will find that they made it worse. And I do believe that with all my heart. But I'd like you to take your Bibles now and go to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. And we're going to just kind of do some Bible study here tonight. Does everybody have this? No. Ushers. Oh, ushers. Okay. Okay, I have a study sheet that the ushers have available. And so I appreciate you reminding me of that and the ushers. In fact, it'd be a good idea if you have that before I get too far into the message tonight. So, ushers, come on up and help us out with the study sheet. Thank you very much. It's a kind of a lengthy study sheet here, but praise the Lord for that. While they're coming along to hand that out, why don't I go ahead and keep going, okay? You can follow me and get your study sheet at the same time, can't you? Okay. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 2 says, and she again, this is Let's begin at verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Looking at Roman number 1, the examination of Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. And in Genesis 4, verse 2, this word Rohi appears, and it is translated not as shepherd in verse number 2, but it's translated as keeper, which is very similar to shepherd. Keeper of the sheep. Abel was a keeper of sheep. And to keep sheep, as this word keep is used, is to watch over the sheep, to take care of the sheep, to protect the sheep. And that's a big part of shepherding sheep. But notice that it is this word keeper as it is used here. Let's look at the second one. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Jehovah Rohi, or the word Roha, is translated in Proverbs 28 with a different word. It's not only shepherd, it's keeper in Genesis 4:2. Proverbs 28, verse 7 says this, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. And the word Roha here is translated with the word companion. Companion. Now, we're talking about different flavors of how the Lord is our shepherd. He's our keeper. He watches over us. He protects us. He takes care of us. Amen. But not only that, he is our companion. He is the one that I tell our people who never leaves us or forsakes us. If you're saved tonight, I am so glad that the Lord has promised to never leave us or forsake us. He is our companion. He is there with us to comfort us. Let's look at another one. Turn now to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter number 14. And in Judges chapter 14, I would like to draw your attention to verse number 20. Judges 14, verse 20. But Samson, the story of Samson here, Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his friend. And the word Roha, or Rohi, is translated with the word friend here in Judges. So if you just got your study sheet, we're looking under Roman number 1, the examination, the translations, capital A. Number 1, it is translated keeper, Genesis 4:2, Proverbs 28:7, companion. And then number 3, Judges 14:20, as friend. So the Lord is our keeper, he's our companion. He is our friend. May I say to you, he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You have no greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ if you're saved tonight. All others will fail you, but Jesus in his friendship for you will never, never fail you. He is the one who we fellowship with and have close communion with. He is there to help us. He is there to cheer us. He is the best friend you will ever have. Let's go to another one. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter number 17. And this is number 4. Jeremiah chapter 17, and I want to draw your attention to verse 16. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which cometh out of my lips was right before thee. This is a word that is familiar to us. Roha is translated here. Rohi, pastor. Number 4, pastor. The word pastor means to feed. It is used primarily in that way. In the New Testament, the word poimenos is most often translated shepherd, but there are a few times where it's translated pastor or feed is the idea. And what privilege in our Baptist churches that we refer to our pastor as pastor. And may I just say to you, if the Lord is our keeper, the Lord is our companion, the Lord is our friend, we're going to look at a couple more things, and he is our pastor. Your chief pastor is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to have a pastor that you could come hear the word and receive counsel and guidance from But I'll never forget one of the things my pastor said years ago when people were complaining to him that they weren't getting fed. And he said, well, feed yourself. Basically what he's saying is, listen, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in the Word and seek Him to feed you. If you're not getting fed here at church, you should be getting fed by the Lord Jesus. He's your first pastor. He's your first pastor. And He's there to feed you. What a privilege, though, to pastor others and to feed and to break the bread of life for others. Let's turn to Genesis 13 for number 5. Genesis chapter number 13 for number 5. Verse number 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Exact same word, rohai, is translated in twice, actually in Genesis 13:7, as herdsmen. Now, herdsman has, as an English word, the idea to gather and also to enfold. One of the greatest passions of any pastor, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ more so than any of us, is to see people saved. Don't forget, He's the one that died for their sins. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus wants to save people more than you and I want to see people saved. Let's never forget that. And He wants to see disciples made. People come into the church, get baptized, and begin to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be disciples of Christ. He is the great herdsman that gathers people into His flock. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. And that leads us to the sixth one, going back to our text in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And the idea of shepherd, the meaning of the word, is to lead and to guide. So number one, keeper. Number two, companion. Number three, friend. Number four, pastor. Number five, herdsman. And number six, shepherd. The same Hebrew word translated these six different ways in the Old Testament, shedding light on what it means to have the Lord as your shepherd. Now for Israel, they were shepherds. They were people who tended sheep. In fact, in the book of Exodus, the Egyptians didn't care for the Israelites because they were shepherds. They considered them an abomination. And when you consider how they wandered through the wilderness and the Lord led them as a great huge flock into the land of Canaan, they could relate to this psalm where David, by inspiration, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." They have that experience as shepherds themselves and as a people before the Lord. But I'd like to show you a couple more verses in the Old Testament that really magnify the shepherding of the Lord. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. There's a few verses I want to point out here. Verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him." Notice verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." What a beautiful picture of the tenderness and the loving compassion the Lord as our shepherd has for his flock and his sheep. Let me show you another one. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And I'd like to look at verses 11 through 16 of Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Satan is out to scatter the sheep. The Lord Jesus labors to gather the sheep from the places where they've been scattered. Verse 13, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and on all the inhabited places of the country. When Jesus comes again, he's going to gather saved Israel from where they've been scattered during the tribulation by the Antichrist back to their land. Verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Now I want you to just meditate on that verse. It deserves some meditation. He seeks the lost. He brings again that which was driven away. He binds up that which is broken. And he strengthens that which was sick. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Lord, our shepherd, and how he ministers to his sheep. Notice how it concludes, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And so looking at capital B, the type, Israel is in view in these texts that we've just read. Number one, Israel relate to this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and how the Lord has in the past led his people and how he will in the future. But may I apply it also, number two, to the church. We are the flock of Christ today. If you're saved today as a member of this church, the Lord is shepherding his church just like it says in these texts that we've read. He cares about the lost, bringing back that which was driven away, binding up that which was broken, and strengthening that which was sick. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen into sin, when Jesus saves you, he's going to change you. He's going to make you into a vessel that's fit for his glory and for his honor. Let's look at the text now. Let's go back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. One of the reasons I chose this psalm tonight to just have a little bit of a Bible study with you tonight is because in this psalm, some of the major names of Jehovah are in view. The Lord is my shepherd is plainly stated in verse number one. But notice the next phrase, I shall not want. So in the text here, number one, Jehovah Rohi is our shepherd. But number two, we see in the latter part of the verse, I shall not want, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. The Lord is our provider. He takes care of our needs, every need that we have, he supplies. This was originally given when Abraham was called upon to sacrifice his only son. And he made that wonderful statement, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. And the Lord provided, and he has provided all of our needs. Our not just our temporal needs, but most importantly our spiritual needs by being the Lamb of God that died on the cross to pay for our sins, to save us from our sins. He is Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. Number two, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Number three, he is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Look at verse two. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What a picture of the peace being a sheep in the fold of God's pasture, the Lord's pasture. Jehovah Shalom, he is the Lord, our peace. And then verse number three, it is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He restoreth my soul. He saves us. He heals us from our sickness and sin. And he meets all of our needs after that as well. He is the Lord our healer, Jehovah Rapha. And then in the latter part of the verse number three, it goes on and says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's number five. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the righteousness of Christ is put to our account as our sins transferred to him when you get saved. And the Lord is our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And then verse number four. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. they come for me. And what we see here in verse number 4, number 6, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He is with me. As we said earlier, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. And then verse number 5, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Notice the first part of there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He is the one who gives us the victory. The victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no victory apart from him. All victory is by him and through him and only in him. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. And then lastly, in verse number 5, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. What we see here is Jehovah Makedesh, number 8, the Lord our holiness, the Lord our sanctification, the Lord who anoints us and molds us and makes us after his likeness and his image. To whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Lord is working in all of his saints' lives to conform them to the image of Jesus Christ. So let's take our Bibles now, Roman numeral 2, and talk about the explanation of Jehovah Roha, the Lord my shepherd. Turn with me now to John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. And as we're going through this, these are all the things the Lord is to you if you're saved. Are you saved tonight? How are you following the Lord? John chapter 10, we have this very important verse. John chapter 10, where the Lord says this in verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then verse number 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. One of the names of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament here in John chapter 10 verses 11 and 15 is he is the good shepherd, capital A. Jesus is the good shepherd. Have you found Jesus to be the good shepherd in your life? The good shepherd is the one who loved us. Number one, he is good because he loved us and gave his life to save us. There's no greater good deed that could ever be done. One might lay down their life for a friend. But what did the Lord Jesus do? While we were yet enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. That is, there's no greater, no better deed, no greater love than the Lord Jesus to lay down his life to save you and I, wretched sinners, enemies, and at enmity with God to save us from our sins. It is good. He is the good shepherd. He loves us. Not only that, number two, He is good because he fulfills perfect righteousness to save and make us righteous. He has fulfilled perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Once again, our sin is transferred to the cross and laid on Christ, and his righteousness is put to our account when we receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. And it is good. I am so glad I do not stand in my own righteousness before God, but I stand in the righteousness of Christ. And what a wonderful thing. And if you're here tonight and you don't have on the robe of righteousness that Christ offers to you, you need it. You need it. Otherwise, you will face the wrath of God without it. He's not only the good shepherd in the New Testament, but capital B, he is the great shepherd. The great shepherd. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter number 13, and I draw your attention to verse number 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Lord is your shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And it is great because he is great because he conquered death. He rose again from the dead to die no more. I serve a risen Savior today. And he has conquered the grave, and that means he can conquer anything. And he will conquer. and he's going to rule. Praise the Lord. He is the great shepherd. And he is great, number two, because he lives forevermore to die no more. He ever lives to make intercession for us, number two. He lives forevermore. And he is going to rule and reign someday. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, but capital C, he's the chief shepherd. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, looking at verses 2 through 4. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as being samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus is not only the good shepherd, capital A, capital B, the great shepherd, he is the chief shepherd to whom every believer will one day give an account. Romans 14:12 tells us every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And there will also be at the judgment seat of Christ reward. As we have served the Lord, we understand that there are crowns that the Lord Jesus will give out at that time, but he is the chief shepherd to whom every one of us shall give an account, and especially, number two, all faithful under-shepherds. All of us who have been Sunday school teachers, I would include that in this, not just pastors of churches, Sunday school teachers, children's church workers, bus workers. Listen, you have a flock of sheep under you. You're ministering to them, and as you faithfully minister to them, as the Lord is ministering in your life, there is going to be a reward given, and that is the crown of glory that is given to those who are faithful under shepherds of God's sheep. Remember that the Lord Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, told Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Let me ask you a question. Who, under your leadership, under your spiritual influence, are you feeding as a shepherd to a little flock of sheep? We had a lady in our church that was on a ventilator in the hospital for a week with the sickness that we're not mentioning tonight. We didn't know if she was going to make it. Not too many people, once they get that far, come home. She might have gone home. We were wondering if she's going to go home to heaven. But the Lord, while she was on the ventilator and under the medication that she was on to be having a ventilator put in her, the Lord laid upon her heart during that time that he wasn't done with her. She works in our ministry with the fours and five-year-olds in our church. And we had, I think my wife said 13 in our midweek service this past week in that preschool, which is good for our church. The Lord said, you've got little lambs that I want you to go back to your church and feed. And you know what? Just a couple days later, she came off the ventilator, and she's back in church now feeding the lambs. Listen, I don't know what your position is in this church or who you are responsible to take care of and to shepherd. But if you'll faithfully shepherd the sheep that God has put under you, there is a reward. There is a reward. I want to talk then lastly tonight, number three, about the experience. So we've looked at the examination, number one, the explanation, and then number three, the experience of Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. One of the most important verses on this is John chapter 10. Really, we could have camped here at this passage all night. We could have camped at a lot of the passages tonight. We've covered a lot of ground. John chapter 10. Would you look at verse number 27? Jesus said, my sheep are my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Is the Lord your shepherd? As I said a few moments ago when I started, there are a lot of people that claim the Lord is their shepherd, and they love Psalm 23, but the fact of the matter is they don't have a life that listens to him and follows him. And both are essential. I'm glad you're in church tonight, and it's important to listen to the Word of God. I hope you had your devotions today. I hope you spent much time in the Word of God. But are you following him? Are you taking what you've heard and letting the Spirit of God lead you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? May I remind you tonight that Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's important to listen. But the work of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer is to lead them. The Spirit of God shall guide us into all truth. How is He leading you? By His Word. What have you read in the Bible today that the Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. Here's how I want you to follow me. Our experience, if we're saved, is that we are following our shepherd. He's leading our lives. He's out in front, charting the course. Is that true in your life tonight? Number one, if He's leading you, you will hear His voice and you will know the word of truth. You'll be listening to the word of truth. And number two, you'll be following, you'll be obeying the word of truth. One of the great problems, I think, in Christianity today is we know the truth, but we want to make our choices of what we're going to do and what we're going to obey and follow. And what we need, I think, if we saw a revival in the churches today, what we'd see is more people falling down and saying, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's not up to me to pick and choose what you say. When you speak, I will obey. Capital B, He protects. Notice verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He protects with His rod and staff, as we see in Psalm 23. He protects from the wolves that come in sheep's clothing, number one. And from the serpent with the sting of death. So many people are afraid. Fear is rampant in our culture and with everything that's going on in our world. And it's entering into the churches among Christians. Listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Listen, if I were to die when I had the sickness, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, did we forget about that? Listen, we're on our way to heaven. If you're saved, your eternal destiny is set. We don't live in fear like this world lives in fear. We don't have to fear Satan and what he's doing, even with the sting of death. And we'll be protected. The Lord is there to protect us. By the way, He's already set our appointment, and we can't change it anyways. Amen? So, capital C, He gathers His church together. John 10, verse 9. Look at John 10, verse 9. We talked about that I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He gathers. He gathers, as we said earlier, number one, His church, assembling for fellowship and for feeding. And they that gladly received His word were baptized and were added unto them 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. The Lord Jesus is involved in assembling His church together for fellowship and for feeding. And He also, number two, gathers us to our heavenly home. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a day coming when the Lord is going to call me home. All of us are going to be called home. This world's not our home. Heaven's our home. Let me close with one verse. It's Revelation 7. Revelation 7. We'll take a quick look at that. Revelation 7, verse number 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Verse 16. I got to read verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I can't wait for that day to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, my shepherd, and to be at home in heaven. The Lord, my shepherd, is salvation and life He gives. None can pluck me from His hand. Secure in Him I stand. Laud, praise, and adoration be my shepherd and Lord who died for me. Are you saved tonight? Is the Lord Jesus truly your shepherd? Are you hearing His voice? Are you following Him? Let's stand together for a word of prayer. A Father in heaven, we thank you just for this brief Bible study tonight on Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd that gave your life to save us. We praise you that you are the great shepherd. You conquered death and will conquer it for us as well. You are the chief shepherd to whom we'll all give an account someday. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to be ready for that day. Help us each day to be following you closely. Lord, if there's any way, anywhere in our lives that we're straying from you or not obeying your voice, help us tonight to make that commitment to obey, to hear your word and to follow.